You know, the word holy means set apart. It's separate. It's not everyday use. It's to be held in a different position. You know, when I was on active duty, I had a uniform that hung in my closet that I never took out. It was my dress blues. They were holy. They were separate. They were a higher regard is where we put them. We didn't wear them every day. But you ask every Marine around the world, they're dressed blues. That's special. That's Jesus. He should be special to us. Not something that we're willing to just go trample on every day. Something we take for granted. You know, it took something to earn those. Well, to call Jesus our King and our Lord, it took His blood. So if you ever wonder why do we sing about Jesus? Who are you going to sing about? I don't care about singing uplifting songs for you. We're here to worship Him and lift up His name. Go turn on the radio when you walk out of here and listen to uplifting music. But we come here and we worship our King Jesus. You know, with all that's going on in the world, you can ask Angela. This conversation comes up regularly. I can't wait until Jesus is the King of the world. Until He's ruling and reigning. This stuff is nuts. You can't make it up. But He is so special. Remember that. Don't take Him for granted. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Get mine out here. Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You. Lord, we thank You that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And now, Father, just as Jesus is holy, His name is holy, so is the tithe and the offering. We present it to You, Lord God. Father, I call Your word in Malachi as truth, that if we would do this, to try You now in this is the only place You said to try You, that You would pour out the blessings of heaven in our home, that we would not have room to contain it. Now, Father, I pray that You bring that word to pass in each and every believer's life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. So how'd that drummer do? You know, I heard a comedian the other day talking about different churches, and you know, some of them got drummers, some of them don't. And he said, you know, our church, he said, they've got this big old plastic bowl thing around him. He said, one day, I just want to walk over and lift the lid up and feed him like he's a goldfish. I told Angela, I said I was going to do that, but she had already shared it. I was like, man, I can't do that now. But praise God. Well, while everybody's settling down. You know, a couple weeks ago, Angela was trying to get the dog to go out and could not figure out. You know, I've got a dog who's not exactly a slouch. He's half pit bull, half Labrador retriever. Looks like a dragon when he lays his ears back, and got a mouth that opens up like a whale. And he's all black. Beautiful dog. And there ain't been a whole lot he's been afraid of, except little dogs. He just can't comprehend them for some reason. The other day, we could not figure out. He would not go out. The dog had to go out. It was morning. He's like, he is usually waiting at the door for us. I got to go. She couldn't get him to go out. Come on, come on, come out here. He just wouldn't go. He just stood there. Tail was down. It wasn't wagging. It was down. We're like, what happened to you? What was that? I mean, we got coyotes out there at the house. And, you know, usually he's never been afraid of them. And we usually have to actually keep him in and keep a little better eye on him during those times. We could not figure it out. And finally, we got him going back outside on his own. He's still a little hesitant from time to time. But, well, Tuesday afternoon, I was mowing over on the other side of my property next to the neighbor's field. And I looked over and, oh, there's a coyote standing right there in the field. The longer I looked at it, that's not a coyote. It was a bobcat. Well, we figured out my dog is afraid of cats. Albeit the cat was about as big as he is. So anyhow, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I got to tell ODNR so that they know they're out there. They just like keep track of them. Oh, praise God. Well, you know, last week I told you I was going to talk about death. We're going to do that today. We're going to talk about it because, first off, I think a lot of the church has gotten so much. We've added our own superstitions to dying and death. You know, there's some people, you can't cremate. Why? Well, how's God going to resurrect your body? The same way he created Adam, thank you very much. He created Adam out of the dirt. Out of the parking lot, folks. If God can't resurrect my dust, which I'd rather be dust than a pile of jelly, because with all the preservatives in me, that's what's going to be in that coffin. Or you can't do this. You know, personally, you know, my family heritage goes back to the Vikings. They had a really cool send-off. Put them in a boat on a pile of firewood, push the boat out in the middle of the lake, and everybody shoot an arrow at it with fire on it. That is cool. But anyhow, now, so for those of you that, well, you got to be buried 6 feet down. Well, I'll tell you, they've got a whole new thing going on. I heard this is in, it was in Iowa. In Iowa, they are doing this. It's called double-decker graves. They dig the first hole 10 feet deep, bury the first person, put dirt on it. When the next person comes along to go in it, they put them on top of that one. Now, one woman, and it was the same comedian that said the fishbowl joke. But he said, I saw this, I swear, he said, I saw this. And he said, but the woman came up to me and she said, I am not going to have that. My husband is unsaved. And if he does not get saved and I die first, well, how am I going to resurrect? Lady, I think you're thinking way too much of it. First off, get your husband saved. No. But we've got so much stuff that we think about death, and you know, so being afraid of death should not be in any believer's vocabulary. When my grandfather was dying, and they called hospice in, and he couldn't speak, he couldn't. I told him, and I later found out he was afraid of dying. He wasn't afraid to keep smoking those cigarettes all those years and getting the cancer that killed him. He wasn't afraid of all this other stuff, but he was afraid of dying. And he said he had made Jesus his Lord. But when I told him, I said, Paul, you can go. That old man held on for two more weeks fighting because he was afraid of death. He didn't understand death. Let's get this straight. Everybody in here at one time is going to die. It's a guarantee. Jason, I can make that guarantee. I said something last week. He says, you know, you really can't make that guarantee. I said, you know, you're right. This one, I can. Don't get out of this life alive. So we need to understand what it is about death. People are teaching, well, Christians go to sleep. They don't die. I got to put that into bed. Sorry, it's wrong. I'm not sure. Yes, I know Jesus said he sleeps. She sleeps. It's because we don't understand the language. I'm getting ahead of myself. But death is nothing to be afeared. Afeared. There's the redneck in me. I asked Justin yesterday, he said something, and I said, are we going to have to send you back through English? He's like, what? He said, I said, you said writ. Oh, I meant wrote. We do not need to be afraid of death. When we're afraid of death, fear has a foothold anywhere in our life. For me, the fear of death, it was a mystery thing. I mean, I was like, you know, I always thought, you know, as a Marine, I thought, oh yeah, the glory, go out with glory, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, but I really don't want to die. And I don't. And nobody did. Nobody wants to die. And if you do, then you have some issues. But it wasn't until I got over a fear of death that I started finding joy in life. I was afraid. I told my mom out of boot camp, they can't make me fight. Well, you know what I learned Marines will do to people like that? You be the first one shot. Because you're a liability now. But when I was able to say, wait a minute, why am I afraid? Why won't I fight? See, all my life I'd always tried to stand up for somebody else. Even though I was usually the littlest guy in the group, my mouth was usually the biggest. So it kind of got me in places sometimes that maybe I didn't have enough butt to handle. And it was at that point in 1990 when I made a decision, I won't fight for me, but I'll fight for my brothers. See, when you find something that you love more than what you fear, the fear has no more place in your life. And that fear was death. I was 20 years old. I didn't want to die. And so it began a long, long, arduous journey of overcoming fears, because believe it or not, I actually did have some, because I had allowed that fear to take root. And 1 ounce of fear is all it would take to get spread out through your life. You'll be afraid of, oh, don't let my grandkids go anywhere and do anything fun. My grandkids are going to have cuts, bruises, God forbid, broken bones. But if they're anything like their grandpa, I've got a few. And Lord, I have some stories. Some of them did start with, watch this. But the very first thing that God told Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. A couple things here to look at. First off, the word die, it's an enigma. I mean, I can't believe when I looked it up in Hebrew, what it meant. It meant to stop living. You will stop living. You're no longer breathing. Okay, but we all know that Adam and Eve did not die in that 24-hour period, don't we? Well, this is where you have to actually look at what Peter wrote about a day. A day in the Lord is as 1,000 years. God has no concept of time. Time means nothing to God. It only meant something to us. So the day they began to eat is when they started dying. Their bodies began to decay, okay? But in that day, and again, Webster's die to stop living. The word die means to stop life, period. So we see so many things that people are trying to, well, you know, you can keep on into forever. Have yourself immortalized. Have your ashes blown into the outer space. Well, okay, if you really want to waste the money to do that, just kind of like those people that have a star named after somebody, pay $100 or whatever, and they'll name a star after you. Tell you what, I'll save you the runaround. You give me the $100, and I'll give you the certificate with the star's name on it. And I'll make up some coordinates for you so you can find your star. It's that big bright one over there. Or nowadays, you know, you can have your ashes turned into a diamond. My grandmother was going to do that. And my aunt and my mom said, "Ooh, no, I'm not going to wear you around my neck. I've told my boys when I'm gone and cremated," just take me to Paris Island, spread the ashes out in the sand somewhere. And Joshua said, "Dad, we ain't taking you out there. We'll take you out behind the barn and throw you in the field." It might be just as good of a place. I don't know. Now, Ecclesiastes. To everything, y'all know this one, and you're already singing it. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. You have a time. Many of you in here right now could probably tell me of times when somebody almost killed you. You lived through something, or somebody came to kill you. Why didn't it happen? There's a time. I do believe each one of us has a day. Just like I told Mrs. Southard when she asked me, she said, "Why will God not let me go?" I said, "Because your time is not done. You have somebody else. You have something else that God wants you to do. There's a time to die." Well, you know, seems to me I missed a scripture. I did on my notes. We have gotten to a point now where we're so, in our Christianity, we're so deep, we're stupid. There was a teaching, and I haven't heard it, but I heard somebody try to tell me about it, that Christians don't die, they just go to sleep. Let me tell you something. If that's the case, this is a lie. This is a stinking, outrageous lie. And that whole book is garbage. If we just sleep. Oh, I get it. That's right. Because Jesus said, she's not dead. She sleeps. He sleeps. Our friend Lazarus, I'm going to get to those in a minute. Anybody ever heard the term taking a dirt nap? Pushing up daisies? Buying the farm? Kicking the bucket? Right. It was a phrase. By the way, the word sleep in the New Testament means literally to lie down. To lay them out like that. That's what it means. It means just you're laid down. Your eyes are closed and you are laid down, or you're even stacked to lay upon. How many remember the story of the guy that was thrown into the tomb on Elisha's bones? They threw him in there, boom, he jumps back up alive. Because the power of God was still in the man of God's bones. It was his bones. They threw people on bones. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but if you got any things with skeletons, you got an issue with a skeleton, burying your dead is going to be an issue when you open that tomb. Because they're going to be skulls and ribs and leg bones and toe bones and everywhere. But that's the way they did it. We've turned it now, and it is a time to remember somebody's life. Okay? But the only time we ever talk about it is when we're doing it for somebody. And we don't understand, and we all stand around, we feel sorry, and we read the 23rd Psalm, if we'd have just, well, they didn't live if they were afraid of dying. we're living to die. How about we start living? How about we start enjoying the life God gave us? He gave us this life to enjoy and to have it abundantly. We keep taking that away from God. Oh no, God, I want the superstitions. I should call them stupidstitions, because that's all that most of them are. Well, you can't be cremated. Why? So I'm going to have my family pay $10,000 versus two. And I don't want, me personally, I'm telling you me, let's have a celebration. There ain't going to be no Vince Gill singing Go Rest High on That Mountain. It's going to be Messiah Prophet singing Rock the Flock. It's a party. But we've forgotten that death is not the end. He said in Genesis, he said, in that day you'll die. We were created to never die. Our bodies regenerate cells. Our organs will regenerate themselves. But time has aged us. And because of that, well, we grow up tall and then we start shrinking, which was not good on my behalf. But if we will allow God to help us overcome the fear of that death and realize that this isn't it. See, people that think that this life is it, these 80, 90, 100 years you get, that they're it? Seriously? I mean, I've got, like I said, I've got science teachers in here, and they'll tell you about how it is a discipline for these cells. It's a discipline for that tree to be what it is. It didn't just randomly happen. No cosmic dust was floating by from nowhere and just created a planet of order that rotates on a certain degree, that rotates at a certain speed, just enough to really mess up your scales because it pushes you down. That's what makes you heavy. Do you know that? Gravity is what makes you heavy. And I found some scales the other day. I told Angela, I said, I got to go talk to Earl Linder. He's got some scales. They have a lying spirit in them. I stepped on them things and they hit a number. I was like, I have never seen that number. I did have my boots on though, so I'll give it that. No, I'm sure his scales are right on. But there's just so much that it's not an accident. I know there's a God. I believe in all my heart there's a God. He's not a God of us having to abide by a bunch of sometimes stupid rules. How many of you have got to catch up back on the Chosen? A few of you. If you haven't, you got to. Season 2, episode 4 is out. That's how far up they are. Oh my goodness, people. I bless that company that's making these, because there's one point the disciple, the man who's healed by the pool of Bethesda, he goes to pick up his stuff and one of the scribes comes over and says, you can't do that, it is the Sabbath. And one of the disciples says, but that is not the law. And one of the other disciples corrected and said, it is the oral tradition. In other words, it's the stuff we added. He couldn't pick up his mat and walk. It was illegal for Jesus to heal him, according to their oral. We've done the same things. Oh, you know what, brother? If you don't have church until 4 o'clock in the afternoon every Sunday, then you ain't having church. I tell you what, I'd rather you comprehend 5 minutes of something I said than to have you here for 5 hours going home complaining that why didn't that preacher shut up after the first 5 minutes? Because I didn't hear a thing after that. So now, let's go to John. These things he said, and this is about Lazarus, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Why did they think he said he sleeps? Jesus was saying he's taking a dirt nap. And they said, well, if he's taking a dirt nap, why go wake him up? If he's just taking a nap, then he'll get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. This is, by the way, that's what I like about The Chosen. It makes Jesus a person, not a puppet. This shows he was saying, he's just sleeping. We're going to take care of this. Nothing more than me. It's nothing for me to just go wake him up. And he's like, oh, guys, shut up. He's dead. He'll be dead 3 days before we get there. Now, why was he resurrected? Because technically, he will have died twice. And there is a time appointed for man to die once. We haven't got there yet, but that's 1 Corinthians. Did I put that down on that, Jesus? Okay. There's one time appointed for us to die. The little girl who Jesus was talking with her father, he said, please come heal my daughter. She is nigh unto death. And even as he's saying this, the men come and say, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter has died. And Jesus says, let's go. And then he took mom and dad and his disciples, and they went into the room. All the people are in. They've already, by the way, they paid wailers, weepers and wailers, people to come cry at your wedding. It was a profession. I tell you, I don't know how can you do that? And Jesus shut the door. He shut them out. And there's like, oh, if you could only been here sooner, just like Lazarus, she wouldn't be dead. And Jesus says, she's just asleep. She's sleeping. Same word, by the way. Same exact word. It means she's laid out. She's laying on something. That's all that it means. And, you know, he looks at her and he says, little girl, get up. Didn't do a bunch of theatrics. No hour of praying in tongues. Didn't have to fast 3 days. He just went in and said, honey, get up. But she died. So we all know what happens 30, 40, 50 years later for her, right? Same thing with Lazarus. Time runs out. Do you know why Jesus resurrected them? It wasn't their time. It wasn't their time. He didn't resurrect every dead person he went by. But those that he knew, that he had within his influence right there, he knew it wasn't their time. Now, I'm not going to say we can go around and say, well, I know it's your time or it's their time. Don't, you know, I know one man who has said God told him the age that he would die. Okay, he's a few years off from it yet. And if he goes then, wow. But I will tell you this. He's not spending the time sitting around, well, I got 3 years, 4 days, 10 hours. He's living his life. But Christians get so goofy when it comes to death that instead of realizing, as Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So ergos stops your sleeping deal. You're not in that body. It's some chemicals. I think it's under $5 still, isn't it, as far as the amount of chemicals that are in it? $5. That's what your body is actually valued at, as far as raw materials. I got a little silver in mine. I don't know if that's going to help me or not, but no gold fillings, just silver ones. But we're not asleep. Because for us to leave this body means that this body leaves. I say it every time I do a funeral. They're not there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I rejoice at being able to do a believer's funeral. I can tell you without a doubt, they're not there. They're with their Lord. But if I don't know they received Jesus. I had to do a funeral for a World War II vet. His own son didn't want to come to the funeral. I had no idea anything about the guy. His son didn't know. He hadn't talked to him in 20 years. Nobody knew anything about him. By the way, that's not a way to go. I had to teach on forgiveness. Obviously, they needed some. But boy, you know, when Miss Rosalie passed away, yeah, we'll miss her. Oh, but bless God, I can tell you right now, she was up. Miss Patsy and Miss Sandy were there. Hey, how'd you get here so quick? Just in the twinkling of an eye. We're not called to fear death. We are called to live. And if you're living your life in fear, you are not living. So many people say, how can you ride a motorcycle? Aren't you afraid of being killed? Oh, it crosses my mind every now and again. I just twist the throttle back a little further and say, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go quick. No. I don't fear the death anymore. I think it was just last week I was telling Jesse when we were on our little vacation. I said, you know, I look back, I said, even in your life, I said, that's why I'm not worried. I don't care what China's doing. I don't care what Iran is doing. I don't care what Israel's doing right now to her enemies, praise God. And if the press don't like it, I don't care what Russia's doing. They're going to do what God has already told us they're going to do. So why are we getting so, our babies? Hello, don't refuse to enter the promised land. But I recounted with him his own life. Right off the bat, devil tried to kill him. Times in my life, I said, the devil has tried, he's tried and tried to kill us. And I can tell you right now, you are not going to have to worry. I'm not saying that you're, that, you know, just because God protects you that you need to go tempting him. But he will protect you. But as long as you're being bound by fear, you're not going to live. You're not going to let your children live. You're not going to let your grandchildren live because you are afraid. And it's, some of it's because of our experiences. My grandmother was, she didn't speak to my mom for several weeks. We lived 4 miles away. They called every day. She quit calling when I enlisted. She couldn't believe Mom and Dad let me do that. Well, I was 18, 19 actually, and I could do it. But her reason is she lost her brother. She didn't know the God, the Lord of hosts. I didn't know him like I do now. But there's no reason to fear the death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Again, here's the Apostle Paul using that word sleep. But he is not talking about the nap I'm going to take later on today. He's talking about dying. And he was not necessarily, as the disciples would always, they totally misunderstood Jesus. Oh, John's not going to die. These are not going to die. Well, they're not going to die. You're coming back that soon. Jesus didn't know. We're not all going to die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality, or this mortal, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on its incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in sweet. Oh, I added that. I'm sorry. That was in a song. In sweet victory. O death, where is your sting? Some versions say, O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to wait until you die to say, oh death, where is your sting? Yeah, you're going to miss the people. I get it. I truly do get it. But if you're fearing death, it's going to rule over you. And death is not a kind taskmaster. Back that up, Jason. I wanted to keep going. Oh. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this body, this is what it's talking about. This body has to die. Okay? It has to die. The believers who are dead in Christ will be resurrected first. Then the living will be taken. But then the dead who rejected Christ. See, we all live forever. Do y'all know that? Everybody lives on forever. It's in heaven or hell. And by the way, I've told you before, we don't stay in heaven. God had other plans. We need to keep reading the book of Revelation and see, oh, wait a minute, new heaven, new earth. Why is he making new heaven and new earth? Man, I think we're talking a whole new galaxy. Man, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, it's awesome. But they had a saying that death would be swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory in Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine living in this world right now without hope beyond this. Well, there's just black. So in other words, it's just kind of like when I had my knee surgery. They knocked me out. I got the 97 and next thing you know, I'm waking up. I don't remember a thing. Oh, wow. Great. So that's eternity. It's just over. No, it's not. It is not. It's just beginning. Because when this body dies, see what he's talking about in the twinkling of an eye, those who are still alive in Christ. You still have a living body that still has to die. In the twinkling of the time it takes light to twinkle in your eye is how fast you will die and resurrect. You're not even going to know it. I personally have a belief, it's personal, it's my opinion, there you know it, that I believe our bodies will go to be about our mid-30s. It's the age Jesus was when he was crucified. It just kind of seemed to be the age we see a lot of things happening. And honestly, my 30s were a lot better than my 40s. I liked my 30s. See, in my 20s, oh yeah, I was still strong and virile, but I was dumb as an ox. I'm like, man, I had so much more to learn. But my 30s, yeah, 30s, I started getting my stride, you know. All you runners know what I'm talking about. You gotta get that. Once you get in your stride, your legs just keep going. You don't know why. You're not even thinking about running anymore. They're just still going. What do you mean this is mile 22? I shouldn't be able to, oh, wait a minute, I can't feel my legs. They're on autopilot. They're just going by themselves. That's kind of, in my opinion, that's what my 30s were like. It's like, oh, yeah, I feel good. Yeah, sweet. And in the twinkling of an eye, your body will be restored to what God intended it. Are you hearing me? You won't be resurrected, recreated at that point with allergies, with snoring problems, sleep apnea, or anything else that you struggle with, weight issues, self-esteem issues. They're gone. Incorruptible. Mortal puts on immortality. Man, I mean, we are talking, there is no Marvel comic book character that is going to be able to stand. They will have a weakness. They all do. Except in this case, there is no more weakness. We will be resurrected as Jesus Christ is resurrected. There is no purgatory, by the way. You don't get to go and get a second, third time around. And Lost was Lost, the show. They were so far off base, it's not funny. All they told people is, it doesn't matter. You end up in the same place. Well, there's, for just a moment, there's this little place called the Bema Seat. We all end up in front of it. It's the judgment seat of God. All of us. And I would rather hear acquitted. Not that they're not guilty, we just acquit them. Because I'm guilty. I'll throw my hands up there. I'm guilty of everything God has record of. Actually, God no longer keeps record. The devil's keeping record. He's making sure that, you know, when I stand there before God, he's like, oh, you know, right here on this date, you want to read that out loud? No, I don't. I really don't. Thank you very much. Oh, wait a minute. Under the blood. What's that mean? It means it's under the blood. Can't be held against me. And that's why it's so important that we understand we die. This body dies. I won't end up with the short legs that my grandmother gave me. My brother's got long legs. I'm like, how on earth did this happen? And my grandmother was 4'11". Give you an idea. So I thank God for the long waist that I got from my mom's side of the family. Otherwise, I would be 5 foot tall. That won't be an issue. By the way, and you know, I've always joked about being short and all this stuff, and it really does not bother me because I've found a lot of good reasons for being shorter. I don't hit my head on as nearly as many things. You know? I mean, Matt, how are you? 6'4"? 6'3"? 6'3", okay. 6'3", you start getting closer to the tops of the doors. If you've ever watched Everybody Loves Raymond, Brad Garrett, he's 6'8". Do you know, he ducks his head every time he goes through a door. I don't have that issue. Not a problem for me. But yet, really tall people, man, I can't find pants. Won't be an issue anymore. You'll actually be in a better height. We'll all be about the same. Wouldn't that be great? Well, it sounds like we're all supposed to be. Yeah, we were perfect. We were perfection. We all had muscles, guys. We all had muscles that actually showed up. Six packs that showed up. Eight packs. I think there's actually eight. I've seen eight. Maybe it's those hillbillies doing the fence thing again. That's the only way I get one. But that's perfection in Christ. That's what happens with the resurrected. You can be standing there in the graveyard and you'll be over top of your dad's grave, and next thing you know, whoop, hey, you look vaguely familiar. Oh, wait a minute. Where are you going? You both go. It'd be a little freaky, not gonna lie. But you cannot fear the death. Death has no victory. There is no victory. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. I'll live my life. I'll do everything God has called me to do. I'll try not to do the things he has not called me to do. That sometimes ends up with you getting to meet him sooner. But don't fear death. Like I said, back a couple months ago, I was joking to you about I kept hearing the song, Don't Fear the Reaper, you know, when we were sick, and I was like, But there was one song that I've always listened to because I knew what it meant, and it's actually a Christian song by a group called Deliverance, and it said, don't be afraid of the greetings of death. Ain't got nothing. Death has no power. When I close my eyes, that's it. I remember they talked about Brother Roberts, Oral Roberts, when he was dying. He called a bunch of close friends in and his family. And they said, what was he singing? He was singing a hymn. I can't remember what it was, but he said, I see him coming. I would much rather be in that boat than going thinking, oh, it just goes black. It fades to black. And I'm no more. And no, you won't be coming back as somebody else or as a frog or a cat. It's a one-shot deal. This is just our vessel. We are a spirit. We have a body. And we have a soul. Soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Soul, we have to submit to God because it wants to do, it's what controls the body. Now, the body is controlled by DNA, by factors around it. You're cold, your body feels it. Your soul doesn't know it's cold. Your spirit doesn't know it's cold. Your spirit wants to do what God wants to do. That's why we have to mortify this body. We have to kill it, crucify it. And that's why it has to change in the twinkling of an eye. Don't ever let anybody tell you, oh, you'll never see death. Yes, you will. Why? And I'm not saying we go do stupid things and try to get there quicker. Okay? There have been a few times God said, you know what? Quit being stupid. I remember the first time I took my motorcycle to 100. That was one of them stupid times. My helmet came off and held me by my chin strap, and I'm trying to slow the bike down. A little scary. And my wife says, no, it was stupid. So you think I'd have learned on the second time. I got to do 100 one time. I had my truck the other day. Oh, never mind. I was passing somebody. Never mind, in fact, we were already 20 over. Yes, I sinned. God kept me from being stupid. Rejoice that your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Live like you have life. And when it's time, it's time. You wake up, I don't know how you wake up, never been there, never done it. Don't know if you wake up and Jesus is standing there. Don't know if you wake up and, you know, your parents or your family or whoever's standing there. Don't know if you wake up and there's a big road you got to go down. Don't know, who cares? You know, we're afraid to take that journey by ourselves. Oh, I've never been there. Well, you know, a baby has never been born either. And yet, out it comes. It doesn't know diddly squat. It just got to learn. It's got to be taught. But I got a feeling there will be a welcoming committee. All right, let's stand. I think I will talk a little bit about fear coming up, just because there was something I heard Billy Graham say. This showed up on Facebook last week. And I told Andy, I said, did you ever get to watch it? Did you find it? Okay. It was when he was on Johnny Carson in 1973. The man taught Jesus to Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon in such a non-judgmental way. It's no wonder he led millions. But he had something good to say about fear. Fear does keep you from doing certain things. Fear keeps me from climbing up a pole and grabbing hold of the power lines. Woohoo! That's stupid. I know what happens. I know what happens when you stick your fingers in those sockets or bobby pins. That was 3-year-old me. Now I just stick wire in it with a pair of pliers. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I have had you guys praying for Julie and Todd.
Yes.
And, you know, his motorcycle wreck was on the 6th of April. That following week, on Monday, they got news that the axons, which are the fibers in his brain, were severed. I prayed with her, and we prayed and prayed and prayed. He is a walking miracle. So if you don't believe in prayer, if you don't believe in what you're praying, he's coming home on June 3rd.
Praise God. Amen.
So,
yeah.
I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
I think we all need to know that when we believe, because we have to believe in what we pray.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
It's really brought so many things out for her and for my. It just has. It's opened up things. You know, when you hear the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, you better do it, because there's blessings in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, forgiveness. There's been forgiveness. There's been renewing of our faith. And he knows that God has a hand on him that day.
Oh, yeah.
Because that car hit him at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he hit the windshield. So, yeah. It's amazing. I don't know why we think it's so amazing when God does things, because he's that awesome and he's that faithful. So I just wanted to let you know.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
The Holy Spirit sitting here the whole time, like, I don't want to interrupt him. Addie's roommate, Julia, has a large blood clot in her lower abdomen currently.
Okay.
And she asked for prayer.
Okay. We can do that. That's what this house is for. It's a house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll pray for that. All right. Well, let's bow our heads, shall we? Oh, hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Father, we thank you for the miracle of life, for the miracle of restoration of life, not only in just the breathing, but, Father, in the relationships.
Yes.
And the relationship with you. Now, Father, right now, we command that clot to break up and to be filtered out of her body in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. You're healing her. You're touching her, Father. And Lord, that if she does not know you, that through this, she will know that you are a God who works miracles, even if they don't believe. Father, I thank you and praise you. You're moving in this young lady's life, and you've given opportunity for Addie and Michelle to even bring that in here so that we can pray and believe. Now, Father, I thank you that you're working in each and every person's life in here, Father. No matter what part of life we're in, whether we're parents, grandparents, we're single, married, whatever, Father, that we will grasp a hold of the fact that we do not need to fear death. That you overcame it. That you have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So, Father, I thank you that we are living victorious, Father, from this day forward. We will not let fear keep us from, one, enjoying the life you gave us, from speaking to people that you have put in our path, no matter how scary they may be. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're opening opportunities. You're bringing about salvation, Father, healings, restorations right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. You're ministering into the lives of each and every person who hears this message today. Father, that they will go forth. Things will begin to be restored. Father, and that by conquering the fear of death, Lord God, that they will begin to push out the other fears, Lord, that keep them bound. Father, I thank you. You're moving in their lives. Father, I bless them. I bless them this week, Father, as they go about their businesses, their jobs. Father, I thank you that you're moving. You're creating opportunities for them. In the name of Jesus, amen.